Welcome back to lesson number two in our series, Let's Talk Marriage. Last time we gave a little introduction, talked about a little bit about me, what we're going to be talking about, and the different lessons that we're going through. Today, we're going to start with lesson number two, and I'm going to go ahead and pull the notes up so we can start looking at them. And today, we're going to talk about the purpose for counseling. Why marriage counseling? What is the reason for going through this? And so let's begin by saying this. Before we begin to explore what the Bible says about the different aspects of marriage, let me suggest three things to you. First of all, we go through counseling to gather advice and get counsel regarding marriage. And that's part of the reason we do it. We need some advice. We need to know what we're getting into. Number two, relative to that, we also go through this counseling because we want to gain an understanding of what marriage really is. And, you know, there are a lot of misunderstandings of what it's going to be like. Hopefully we can clear that up. Then number three, we definitely want to get direction about God's plan for your life. Is this what God really wants me to do? So let's dive right in by starting with this simple fact. Good marriages begin long before the wedding ceremony. You don't want to just decide, hey, babe, let's get married, and then tomorrow run down the aisle and get married. Why do you need to plan? Why do you need to prepare? Well, let's look at some verses. Proverbs 20 and verse 18 says, plans succeed through good counsel. Don't go to war without wise advice. Now, let me say this. This verse is not insinuating that getting married is like going to war, because hopefully it's not. However, when a general is preparing to go to war, he gets wise advice as to how to prepare the battle plan. Plans succeed, God says, through good counsel. Well, you certainly want your marriage to succeed, so let's get some good counsel. In Luke chapter 14, this is what Jesus said about discipleship. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. Don't just jump into this. You want to be a follower of Jesus? You need to realize what that entails. He goes on to say, for who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counselors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he'll send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. So you cannot become my disciple without giving up everything you own. Marriage is not something that we just jump into lightly, and it shouldn't be taken lightly. As you've seen in these verses we just read, God encourages us before we begin any endeavor, whether it's war, whether it's becoming a follower of Jesus Christ, or whether it's marriage, to get counsel, get advice, get some information so that you are prepared for what's ahead of you. A good marriage begins after lots of thought, planning, prayer, discussion, seeking the advice of those we love and we trust. It's a decision that's made after all these things have carefully been considered and factored into the long-term picture of what marriage looks like in our mind. Once we have an accurate picture of what marriage will look like, then of why we're here. First of all, to get advice and wisdom regarding marriage. The Bible teaches that wise people do not depend solely on their own thoughts, but they actually seek advice from those that are wiser than they are. Those who know more about the situation or topic than they do. Those who have been there and done that. Those who have experience in what they're about to do. Those who have studied the topic and have become knowledgeable about the subject. Look at these verses that teach us about the importance of seeking wise advice. Proverbs 11:14, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. Proverbs 15:22, plans go wrong for lack of advice, but with many advisors bring success. Proverbs 24:5-6, the wise are mightier than the strong, and those with knowledge grow stronger and stronger. So don't go to war without wise guidance. Victory depends on having many advisors. For a follower of Jesus, God is the ultimate counselor or advisor. Look what Isaiah says in chapter 9 and verse 6. For a child is born to us, a son is given to us. The government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Psalm 16, verses 7 and 8, God says this, I will bless the Lord who guides me. Even at night, my heart instructs me. I know the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. And Proverbs 21:30 says, no human wisdom or understanding or plan can stand against the Lord. God is a wonderful counselor, as he's called in Isaiah 9 and verse 6. Why? Because he created us. He designed us to follow him. He wants what's best for us, and he'll never give us bad advice. He's with us all the time, and he'll never forsake us, unlike human advisors. We can take his advice while human wisdom and understanding can be helpful. Remember this, nothing will ever overturn God's advice. God's advice is communicated to us through the Bible. The Bible is the believer's source of truth and instruction. Look at Joshua 1 and verse 7 and 8 at what God told Joshua before he took over the leadership of the children of Israel. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the instructions Moses gave you. Do not deviate from them, turning either to the right or to the left. Then you'll be successful in everything you do. Study this book of instruction continually. And he's referring to the Bible. Meditate on it day and night, so you will be sure to obey everything written in it, for only then will you prosper and succeed in all that you do. These are the instructions God gave Joshua when he became the leader of the Jewish people right after Moses died. The only Bible they had at that time were the first five books of the Bible, the Law of Moses, as it was called. God told Joshua to study it, meditate on it, and obey it, and he would be successful. The same holds true for us today. Why? Look at this. The Bible gives us understanding and direction for life. Psalm 119, 104, 105. Your commandments give me understanding. No wonder I hate every false way of life. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. The Bible also helps us to see ourselves as we really are, and then helps us to change in order to conform to God's way. James chapter 1, verses 22, 23, and 24. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. If you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and you forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and you don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. In Psalm 119 and verse 59, the psalmist said, I pondered the direction of my life, and then I turned to follow your laws. When asking God for my advice, we must be willing to look honestly at ourselves and do what it takes to bring our life in line with the truth of the Bible. That's what we're going to have to do as we go through this series. Honestly look at your life in light of what the Bible says, and any area of your life that doesn't match up, be willing to turn in order to follow God's instruction, just like the psalmist said in Psalm 119:59. So one of the reasons we go through marriage counseling is to get godly advice, and that comes from God through the Bible. Now let's look at the second reason for going through marriage counseling, and that's to gain an understanding of what marriage really is. One of the goals of this series is to help us understand what marriage is really like so that we're not disappointed by false expectations. Many couples enter marriage with a pie-in-the-sky idea of a marriage that's all wonder and honeymoon bliss, only to find out very quickly nothing could be farther from the truth. Marriage is work, but it is worth the effort. So are we ready for the work? Here are three basic facts about marriage that I hope will help put things in perspective as we study this series together. Number one, marriage is God's institution. So we've got to set the expectation up front. Marriage belongs to God. He's the one that designed it. He's the one that created it. Therefore, he's the best person to ask about it and how it should be done. Look at Genesis 2, 18 through 24. Then the Lord God said, "It's not good for the man to be alone. I'll make a helper who is just right for him." So the Lord God formed from the ground all the wild animals and all the birds of the sky. He brought them to the man to see what he would call them. And the man chose a name for each one. He gave names to all the livestock, all the birds of the sky, all the wild animals, but still there was no helper just right for him. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. While the man slept, the Lord God took out one of the man's ribs, and he closed up the opening. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib, and he brought her to the man. "At last," the man exclaimed, "this one is bone from my bone and flesh from my flesh. She will be called woman because she was taken from man." And this explains why a man leaves his father and mother, and he's joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. So first of all, marriage is God's institution. But second of all, as we just saw in these verses, marriage takes two people. These two people must assess whether they are ready for marriage and then learn to communicate effectively. It goes without saying, they will need to be able to get along for the rest of their lives. These lessons hopefully will help us to be able to determine how to do that. And then a third thing I want you to realize as we look at what marriage is really like, marriage is hated by Satan. Understand that marriage, since it's God's institution, is hated and attacked by the devil. For this reason, it's best to identify potential problems now and address them so they don't cause problems later. We're going to work to get all your skeletons out of the closet and deal with them now so Satan can't use them against you later. And then finally, the third reason why we go through marriage counseling is to get direction about God's plan for our life. God has a plan for each of us, and he wants what's best for our life. Look at Romans 12, 1 and 2. "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he's done for you. Let them be a living and a holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good, and it's pleasing, and it's perfect." Philippians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10 say this, "And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight." Why? "So that you may be able to discern what is best." and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ. A marriage that's put together by God and maintained by following God's plan is the closest thing to heaven on earth we're ever going to know. It's best, as Philippians 1, 9, and 10 say. However, a marriage that leaves God out and is entered into without thought to what God wants can be the closest thing to hell on earth you'll ever know. These lessons are designed and prepared in such a way to help prepare us for what lies ahead as we transition from the single life to the married life and experience a little bit of heaven on earth. Next time, we're going to talk about establishing realistic expectations about marriage. So let's have a word of prayer and then we'll close. Father, thank you for the Bible. Thank you that marriage is your institution and that you've given us a book of instruction to teach us what it is and how to do it. And I pray as those that listen to these series of lessons begin to understand what your word says about marriage, that they will want to do what you say, that they will dedicate themselves to obeying Jesus and obeying the principles of the word of God, and that you will bless them with a marriage that is like heaven on earth. We love you. Thank you for loving us. In Jesus' name, amen. Once again, thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.